Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 309th episode of Think Again, a programme produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change for more than a quarter of a century. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And today we're looking at universities.
Last week, when talking about the productivity roundtable, we had a go at our federal government's reluctance to really address the underlying causes and issues that continue to make life in Australia worse than it could be. We had a critical look at the hyped-up attempts to fix things like our economy or the climate crisis by organising events like parliamentary inquiries or roundtables. All those heavy-duty sounding and very costly gatherings often leave issues like housing, inequality, racism and multiculturalism really unaddressed, or papered over using empty verbiage, like the oxymoron that we have no place for ... in Australia, which is so often used by our politicians when they don't know what to say, and that ... is to be filled in with the issue we won't talk about or do even less about.
Yeah, like the underpinnings of last week's racist anti-immigration marches.
That's right. Among the other issues not really dealt with, we then mentioned last week the disaster of our second or third largest export industries, the Australian universities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we called it. Whilst that may have baffled some of our listeners, we don't associate education and university with commercial exports.
But they are.
They are. We'll dedicate today's programme to that, what we called, disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It behooves us to disclose our connections with tertiary education, obviously. We both have been employed in academia, I making it up to associate professor before quitting after more than 25 years spent in Germany, US and Australia in universities, and after that still casually teaching and supervising students till today. Whilst Jennifer had a series of occasional casual involvements.
Yeah, that's right. For a few years alongside the same time carrying out research projects in the community sector in the early 2000s. And even way back then, there was a turn away from employing permanent academic staff and cutting costs with casuals. And Jacques, your experience of the Australian university sector goes back to the mid-80s in Australia. And maybe we'll come back to what was happening then. But overall, our universities have been in a steady decline for some time now. And this decline accelerated during COVID and has only got worse since. So what's the problem? Well, the rot started several decades ago with the infamous neoliberal project taking off and taking over our government and our public institutions. We've talked a lot about this radical neoliberal project quite a few times on Think Again, and it turns on the ideological belief that everything is best provided by the market and by corporate profit-making businesses in the private market. So in the public sector, we have the associated assumption that even public services should operate like corporate entities, community housing.
So with this ideology taking hold, we saw the privatisation of a range of public and community services. For example, pulling back from public housing built and managed by the government with public money.
Yeah.
And you could say the same thing
major
about
major roads.
That's
actually.
Right. That's
think
right.
of our major roads and our
CityLink,
highways.
CityLink and all of those things.
Taking all the
and the outsourcing of employment services are other examples. We know how that went, didn't we?
Yeah.
So universities were very much caught up in this trend, no longer viewed primarily as centres of learning for the public benefit, but as corporate entities with top-down command and control management structures, looking at inputs and outputs, renamed as outcomes, of course, and efficiencies and those kinds of ways of thinking meanwhile.
Yeah, the factory conveyor belt model, I call it. Mm-hmm. The factory conveyor belt mm-hmm. model of management that we talked about in one of our earlier programs when we were talking about managerialism and managerialism being the handmaiden of neoliberalism.
Yeah, it certainly is. Within this management approach, top managers and CEOs are not selected for their content expertise related to what their organization is doing, but rather they are selected for their training or expertise in a narrowly conceived managerialist approach, typically looking at efficiencies and savings, but not really having the depth of knowledge or understanding or the experience and training to know what the product itself is being diminished in that drive for efficiencies.
Yeah. Well, a good example of that is our own Bureau of Meteorology. Changes in management at the Bureau of Meteorology, BOM, have been covered in a series of articles and exposés, I'd say, in the Saturday paper over time, with top managers apparently being appointed who have no expertise in meteorology but seem to know a lot about cost-cutting and efficiencies, which it's not really efficient if it's not really doing its job anymore, by the way. But unfortunately, these managers don't have the associated knowledge about when the product of weather forecasting is diminished in cost-cutting exercises. So if you think our weather forecasting has become a lot less accurate, you're not imagining it. It really has become less accurate.
And don't blame the weather for it. There are numerous examples of this also happening in the community sector, with frontline professionals with years of experience being subject to management blow-ins, who don't really understand the nature of the work and the consequences of the management decisions they are making.
And no more of that people working their way up through the ranks who do have that content knowledge.
That's right, that's right.
So, of course, if management and decision-making processes were flatter or more horizontal, it wouldn't matter so much because you'd be drawing on the learning of the people in the organisation. But we're talking about top-down command and control management, as you termed it, Jacques, where the intelligence of the whole organisation is very often reduced to the person at the top or the people in the top management and to what to what they know or understand.
That's right. And speaking of our university, it is also true that academics have less power and representation in the management of university in Australia these days and since neoliberalism, or economic rationalism as it is also called, has started.
Yeah, well, so in that vein, there was a hair-raising article in The Guardian about the full extent of the crisis in our universities, titled "Appallingly Unethical: Why Australian Universities Are at Breaking Point" by Caitlin Cassidy. So in the long push to cut costs, the victims include both academic staff and students, and ultimately the quality of our degrees or the learning opportunity the learning that's being offered. So our degrees are quickly becoming junk products, using market language. So one academic quoted in the article said that our universities have become like supermarkets, firing so many staff that students are now like customers at the self-checkout counters, checking their own goods out and responsible for their own education. unquote. Mm. So many academics talk about the diminished quality of courses with the over-reliance on casual staff, for example, often using trainees and PhD students, the growing reliance on online learning, reusing course content, and not enough time paid to staff to give meaningful feedback or support to students about their work. For example, one example given in the article is allocating 5 minutes to give feedback to an assignment. Mm. So according to the Guardian article, an undergraduate degree at some of Australia's most elite educational institutions can cost up to $200,000. But many who work in academia say students are no longer getting what they pay for, which sounds like an understatement.
Mm. Mm.
So one past academic in the article said that the university is constantly trying to balance checkbooks and extract as much as they can from staff. But the amount of work teachers are allocated shows how little the university cares about the quality of the education students are getting.
Mm.
Well, it doesn't seem to be on their radar, really, in their management model.
No, it is.
So, meanwhile, with all the brutal cost-cutting, many staff are worked into the ground and often becoming really unwell in the process.
And a lot of young people are worried about taking on debt alongside other cost-of-living worries, not least housing, obviously. University enrolments are going down. That was 2 years ago. And in 2022, 9 of Australia's 38 public universities recorded a combined deficit of nearly $850 million.
Yeah, so with the decline in our degrees, who internationally will want to buy them?
Mm.
So not so clever management in the long run, after all, as well as acting unethically towards staff, as that Guardian article highlights, treating workers as staff as workhorses, and even caught out underpaying them by millions in some cases.
That's correct.
And selling students courses that are more and more provided on the cheap, with the efficiency of producing McDonald's hamburgers, as if no one will eventually notice.
Mm.
So President of the NTEU, that's National Tertiary Education Union,
that's right.
Dr. Alison Barnes sums up the situation pretty well. So I'll quote her. Cut price learning structures deliver poor educational outcomes, especially when the focus is not on the quality of education, but in generating profit.
Mm-hmm.
Universities must return to their core functions of teaching and research and not act as investment corporations focused on income generation and profit growth, unquote.
That's a good summary, really.
Yeah. And for a very different and much better way of doing our universities for and with communities, a good example, building on and developing knowledge for the public good, a good example is given in the Think Again interview we had with Mari Brennan and Lou Zippin in October 2023, titled Making Education More Meaningful to Address the Problems Facing Us.
Mm.
Wouldn't that be great?
To let that sink in a bit, let's listen to Educate the Masses by Blue King Brown.
Really? If you have a conscience, you should know just how to use it. Don't be like them fools, they go around and just abuse it. All your thoughts be locked up in them stories that they tell you. Now you surely understand that's how this system molds you. Educate the masses and now stand for what is right. Soon they're creeping up on you in the middle of the night. Gather up their hopes and dreams, they throw them to the sky and light it up tonight, cause they know the reasons why. Knocking upon your door. Oh,
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
And before the break, we were talking about the accelerating crisis in Australian universities brought on by their corporatised models of governance and with devastating cost-cutting measures that exploit staff and lead to degraded, poor-quality courses, apparently ripping off many students in the process. Again, we see the blind faith in neoliberal ideology behind the rot. And Jacques, you were there.
I certainly was.
Amongst the beginning of the rot. So, at least when it really took off in the late 80s and early 90s in Australia, when John Dawkins, who was the Labor Education Minister from 1987 to 1991, led a series of major reforms, what are called reforms, that moved Australia's higher education system into a mass production system aimed at producing more university-educated workers.
Yes, I left full-time employment at university at the end of 96, when the full impact of the so-called Dawkins reforms started to be felt at the coalface. Those reforms were all part of the Hawke-Keating government's attempt to recalibrate the Australian economy away from tariffs and other protective trading measures.
Yeah, and by the way, that was a Labor government.
That's correct. And they wanted to open up this economy to the world, lest we would become, in the immortal pronouncement of Paul Keating, a banana republic. And it accompanied the full steam acceptance of the trickle-down neoliberal approach to our economy, which now, after 40 years, threatens our tertiary education sector to really go bananas. Indeed, that is the conclusion of the most authoritative work on the Dawkins reforms, written in 2017 by Stuart McIntyre, Andre Brett and Gwilyn Groucher, and I hope that I pronounced
Groucher.
Yes, their names. That review, it was a really big book meanwhile, was titled No End of a Lesson, Australia's Unified National System of Higher Education. They call those reforms the most significant structural changes that the system ever has seen. The Dawkins Revolution changed the purpose of the university in many ways, the most important being it directed their activities explicitly towards implementing government policy. It made the university system first and foremost a money-raising economic sector, eventually becoming one of our three largest export sectors.
Yeah, export, big export products.
That's right.
And that was changing the ways in which universities would be run. In particular, moving away from collegial governance approaches that involved academic staff and people with the content
and
knowledge.
And students.
And people with the content knowledge. And moving governance to management practices and processes that come from the corporate world, as we said before, like performance monitoring techniques and methods.
That's right, KPIs.
KPIs.
And especially requiring university to find new sources of income and being opened to the market.
Yeah, that's the commercialised model of universities we have today.
That's correct. The conclusion,
rather than centres of learning and knowledge.
That's right. The conclusion of the book by Stuart McIntyre and others is, to no end of a lesson, we are still living with the consequences of what Dawkins created, with the structural constraints, the financial pressures, the overdependence on government, brash commercialism, and micromanagement, end of quote. And as Graham Turner suggests in his very small but excellent 2025 publication, and the title is Broken Universities, Politics and the Public Good. And he says, a consequence of the corporatization of the university is the deterioration of the relationship between academic staff and senior management. End of quote. And as we flagged before the break, increasing numbers of vice chancellors are now drawn from outside the academic sphere, and even those who have academic credentials and experience very soon see the system force them into becoming mere managers.
Yeah, and how soul-destroying.
And mind-destroying, I would say, as well. Mm. And if anything, over the last decade, the coalition governments have made things even more outrageous. Who can forget the intervention by Liberal ministers Simon Birmingham and Stuart Roberts, or Robert rather, into the decisions and recommendations by the Australian Research Council as to which research proposals should be financially supported?
Yeah, and of course the ARC is a really important body because they allocate millions and millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
For research. Mm. And notably, research proposals that were ruled out at that time related to climate change, gender and sexuality, and they were outright rejected.
Mm, which shows the ideology of the going government. As were several proposals in the humanities and social science areas which did not align with the politics and opinions of the coalition. Mm. As well, the Morrison government it created funding clusters favouring the production of so-called job-ready graduates. Mm-hmm. And the disciplines and departments that could deliver them, and that one of those my most
words
hated
like, yeah.
my most hated words, then they should be delivering mostly STEM, science, technology, engineering and math kind of subjects and courses. At the same time, the cost of studying humanities and social science disciplines was greatly increased.
Yeah, that's right. During COVID, the Morrison government changed the fee structure of courses within a certain ideology that I would say is suspicious of education, that makes students more analytical and critical and stops them being docile citizens who just keep the wheels of capitalism turning.
That's correct.
Yeah, and definitely Scott Morrison as PM didn't view universities as important sites of critical awareness, contestation and resistance.
No, certainly didn't.
And the Morrison government obviously just viewed education in a reductionist, instrumental sense, to prepare people to do jobs in the economy without thinking too broadly about the context of their jobs.
Or deeply.
So the cost of, for example, the cost of studying humanities increased by $7,800 per year, raising the student contribution to $43,500, way out of proportion to potential earnings, by the way. And Jacques, who can forget the really mean refusal by the same Liberal government during COVID to include university staff in the JobKeeper program during COVID?
That was dreadful.
Although casualisation of university staff had developed long before 2020 into a huge problem for both quality and continuity of teaching and for students' quality of learning.
But the exclusion from JobKeeper was for many casual staff the end point of their academic careers. Mm. And like Graham Turner, who wrote that little booklet I talked about before, which is titled Broken, Universities, Politics and the Public Goodness, published by Monash University Press. Mm. I, like Graham Turner, remember George Megalogenis' article during that time, wondering why the government did exclude universities from JobKeeper. One member of the Morrison government was telling him, and I quote, "The government hates universities."
So a very personal antipathy there.
Absolutely. Graham Turner focuses on the role of universities to contribute to the public good, a role now being fundamentally eroded by the focus on the individual learner needing to be made job ready, rather than aiming at the traditional purpose of universities. And I quote him, "A demand-driven system, however it is configured as a means of managing the funding of undergraduate enrollments, is not sufficient for the purpose of maintaining the nation's knowledge infrastructure. In the absence of complementary, long-term considerations of the national interest and the public good, end of quote.
Public
and that
good.
Goes obviously beyond the economics.
Mm.
And I would urgently add to this the pivotal role our universities maintaining the nation's knowledge infrastructure for long-term and immediate considerations relating to ecology and survival.
Yeah, climate.
And the many other urgent issues we mentioned last week. As well, the increasing impositions and adoption of electronics and so-called remote instruction in universities has certainly added to the erosion of the traditional roles of universities.
Yeah, we're seeing very early on the misuse of AI, despite all the people, champions, And,
Which we discussed a couple of weeks ago. That's right.
Yeah.
As many of our debates and public discussion really don't challenge the utter transactional way in which the purpose of universities is discussed, it seems as if it can only get worse. As Graham Turner writes, and I quote him again, universities deliver, and he puts deliver in quotation marks, deliver the course. Students acquire the relevant skills and qualifications and then go out on to secure employment. All good as far as it goes, but it represents a fundamental undervaluing of what a higher education system can offer the nation.
Mm.
End of quote. And he adds, education is not something that can just be delivered like a pizza.
Mm.
So, ending up with Italian philosopher Giorgio Agamben, that he should have the last word. In his little exposé, Requiem for the Students, he writes that two points should remain firm when talking about universities. First, professors who agree, as they are doing en masse, to submit to the new dictatorship of telematics and to hold their courses only online. They are the perfect equivalent of the university teachers who in 1931 swore allegiance to the fascist regime. As happened then, it is likely that only 15 out of 1,000 will refuse. But their names will surely be remembered alongside those of the 15 who did not take the oath in 1931.
Mm.
Second, students who truly love to study will have to refuse to enroll in universities transformed in this way. And as in the beginning, they should constitute themselves in new universitates, only within which, in the face of technological barbarism, the word of the past might remain alive, and something like a new culture could be born, if it will be born. End of quote.
The Commons Social Change Library is an online collection of educational resources for those involved in community campaigns and social and labour movements. It collects, curates, and distributes key lessons and resources from progressive movements from around Australia and across the globe. The library includes over 1,400 resources covering campaign strategy, community organising, activist history, digital campaigning, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion, and much, much more. It's free to access the library, so check out the collection at www.commonslibrary.org.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about today's program, email borderlands@borderlands.org.au. Our past programs are available by podcast on different platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au.
Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
You
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.